Okay, so this is Sudha Goswami speaking with Shaunaka Rishi, answering his questions, and he's retelling the conversation between Vidura and Uddhava, right? And this is these chapters describe in brief the pastimes of Lord Krishna, which will be later on discussed in further detail in 10th canto. Just yesterday I was preparing and I came upon this quote from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he says, "I do not consider a bad day one which is covered with clouds, but I consider a bad day a day which is not filled with Krishna Katha." This is very suitable for this UK setting, right? So let's go. Translation. The Lord was thus engaged in household life for many, many years, but at last his detachment from ephemeral sex life was fully manifested. Purport. Even though the Lord is never attached to any kind of material sex life, as a universal teacher, he remained a householder for many, many years, just to teach others how one should live in householder life. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the word samajayata means fully exhibited. In all his activities while present on the earth, the Lord exhibited detachment. This was fully displayed when he wanted to teach by example that one should not remain attached to household life for all the days of one's life. One should naturally develop detachment as a matter of course. The Lord's detachment from household life does not indicate detachment from his eternal associates, the transcendental cowherd damsels, but the Lord desired to end his so-called attachment to the three modes of material nature. He can ever be detached from the service of his transcendental associates, like Rukmini and the other goddesses of fortune, as described in the Brahma Samhita. 5.29 Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrahma Sevyamanam. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svampadantika Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Rare Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishavano Sutadevi Haramami Pripri Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Yeah. So, Prabhupada discusses in this verse how Krishna is exhibiting his perfect household life. He also exhibits what one should do after he finishes his business in the household. So, as Narada Muni was visiting the palaces, right? He was flying in, and the whole setting in the city of Dwaraka, it was unlike anything other what we can see today in the world.
So there were all these palaces connected with roads, and there were parks and lakes and rivers and forests and meadows, and filled with all these auspicious animals. On the roads there were chariots with horses laid in gold, and elephants were walking around, and in the lakes were birds, different water birds and other singing birds, and all these auspicious plants were thriving. So in such a setting, Krishna was exhibiting his pastimes as a householder. So as we also heard some 17 verses back, when Satyabhama wanted the Parijata tree, I find it very interesting, because in landscape architecture there's this kind of like reoccurring theme that when you have a garden or some like arrangement, there must be something that is the centerpiece. Okay, so people spend a lot of money for those. I don't know if the whole garden costs, I don't know, 20,000. At least 5,000 goes for that tree, whatever it may be, or some other plant, or some water motif, or something like that. So it's kind of like very important to have that. And of course we know, especially the ladies, they like to have like nice arrangements in the garden and such. So they are very much invested in it. So this pastime is something that it's kind of like where it all originates from. Yeah. And so that's why she wanted that Parijata tree for her palace. So Krishna was having very good time in these settings. And it's described how he was either playing with his children, or he was in the assembly hall with his associates discussing politics and other matters, or he was spending time with his wives in the parks or in the lakes also. And they were embracing each other and exchanging loving glances, and they were talking. And he obviously had many sons and daughters also. And in this way, the wives, they were very much satisfied with the whole thing, how it's transgressing. And they thought that because he didn't even leave the palace without kindly requesting permission from his wives to go out. So he was, they considered him henpecked, right? They were thinking, yes, I'm such a nice wife, I'm serving him so nicely, he's completely under my control. He cannot help himself to not be influenced by me. And when I read this, I immediately remembered there's this joke. When a married couple goes to the counselor, and then the counselor asks the husband, and he says, "So tell me, do you feel overpowered by your wife?" And then the wife replies, "No, he doesn't." Krishna wasn't like that, right? He was, because he comes to exhibit perfect family life, so he's not attached to whatever is going on. And all these wives, they are manifestations of his internal energy, right? So that's Antaranga Shakti. And that means that actually he's just playing as on the stage, playing the play for us to see with himself, actually. It's none different than himself. And but when we want to do that, it's not possible because we are just a minute particle, spiritual spark inside the body, and we are marginal potency. So whatever we try to do, whatever pastimes that we try to enjoy or engage in, they are by definition not going to be successful. They're not going to bear fruit because it's not us. It's not even these bodies that we're in. They're not ours. We can think, okay, maybe I cannot exploit the other sex or other living beings or whatever, other facilities that are there offered. But I can at least like be satisfied with myself. No, because also the body is not ours. It belongs to Krishna. We are just given it as like a rent. We're renting it basically for a while until we're kicked out because we cannot pay rent anymore. So these are two differences, or a difference. There's Anukar and Anusar. So Anukar means to follow in the activities, in what the person does, to imitate. And Anusar means, Sar means the essence, right? So that means to follow the message, the teaching, the what the person is trying to convey. And we can never follow Krishna verbatim, right, to do what he does, because we don't have such potency. We're not in such a position. But what we can do is follow his example, follow his teachings. So that's Anusar. And like I said, if we try to enjoy our senses, it's never going to be successful. So this theme is about sense gratification, sex life. And if we just take a look at the animal kingdom, right? There's, for instance, bees. When they mate, the male, he just dies. It's impossible to survive. So this is how they kind of like get together. It's like a death sentence. And then cats. We had a cat when I was a kid. And it was a female cat. And she was really nice. Nice cat. But then when there was this mating season, she was just like outside the whole night, and few days you didn't know where she is. And she came back all scratched up and with wounds and like complete fur, completely like messed up and everything. And you could even hear them in the night when they were screaming. It was like, I don't know, the devil is screaming, right? People, you know how it sounds. It's really like ghastly, the cats mating. Or for instance, we can read Prabhupada is describing many times the donkeys, right? How the donkey is chasing the female, and then she's kicking him in his face, and his face is completely like obliterated, full of blood and like swollen, and he's still like chasing her. He doesn't care. He's very determined. And yeah, it might be kind of like funny or like something that we think, oh my God, this is too much, right? I would never. But we are actually exactly the same. There's this story of in very early days of ISKCON, when Prabhupada was in New York. This was like mid to late 60s. And one of the first students was Bruce Scharf, later known as Brahmananda. So he was studying, and English literature study, they had to sort of analyze one text. And then he was speaking with Prabhupada, and he said, yeah, I think this main character, his motives are like, he's trying to reach transcendence, and he's trying to find something higher in life, and trying to kind of like penetrate through the material existence. And the professor was completely disagreeing with me. He was just saying, no. This character, he just wants to get together with the lady. All he's motivated is it's sex life. It's like sense gratification. And I can't agree with him. And then Prabhupada was hearing this and he said, your professor is completely right. Everyone is actually trying to just gratify their senses in one way or the other. Brahmananda was very much surprised. He thought that Prabhupada's gonna support his point of view, and he's gonna be like, yeah, there is some people who are trying to develop some spiritual thing in their life. But Prabhupada just took the stance with his professor. And we can see that all the commotion, right, that is going on in the world, not just like the gross things as like, I don't know, nightclubs and this and that, but everything that anyone does, not just like all the cars, all the factories, all the traffic that is going on, all the stock exchange, all the industries, all the family drama that is happening in all these houses that you can see in old countries, it's all just about sense gratification in one way or the other. It may be disguised as this thing or that thing, or even like something extended, not just pertaining to the body and the self, but something as nationalism or I don't know, trying to do something good for others as United Nations or whatever. It's all has the same quality underneath. And there's this really nice verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Atmendriya pritivancha tare balikama, Krishnendriya priticha dare premanama. So it means, if we're trying to gratify our own senses, that it's called kama, lust. But if we try to satisfy Krishna's senses, this is called prem, love. And this is what we have to do. And as in this verse is described how Krishna was, after enjoying in the family setting for many, many years, he kind of wound it down. This is this word, ephemeral, which was a new word for me. And it means like passing or fleeting, temporary, brief, translucent, like that, some short fading thing. He describes, Prabhupada also advises that we should also follow in that example. So that means biding down our material activities after the whole kind of development is finished. Okay, so there's four orders in society. And so that means brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. And for brahmanas, there are all these four. So one should ideally go through all these four. Then for Kshatriyas, there's three, right? It's up to Vanaprastha. And for Vaishyas, there's two. It's Brahmacharya and Grihastha. And for Shudras, it's just Grihastha. Last year we were with Jadvaita Maharaj, and he's preparing this book on Vanaprastha. So he was giving a lot of talks on it. And his working title is The Next Adventure for the book. And somebody proposed after one class, he said, "Oh Maharaj, a good title for the book would be The Way Out." This is some Grihastha man, he said like that. And actually his wife, after the class, we were just standing there and waiting and for Maharaj to kind of end with discussions. And then his wife, she came there and she said to me, after the class, she said, "Oh my God, I'm finished. I'm done. He's gonna go. But they are really nice. They are actually one of the exemplary Grihasthas. Maharaj was describing that we should try to follow that. There's so much discussion on this, how we should implement Varnashrama, right? And everyone is like, this is like the hot topic of ISKCON in the recent years. But I really much like how one of our senior brahmacharis in Ljubljana, he always says, when people are kind of complaining about ISKCON should do this or ISKCON should do that or ISKCON is lacking here or there or whatever, he says, "What are you saying? What is ISKCON? You are ISKCON. I am ISKCON. We are all ISKCON. Each individual is ISKCON. It's not that ISKCON is some entity that it's just out there and it's going to do its thing. No, it's us. So we have to do it. So we have to be on point. We have to be exemplary. Whatever ashram we're in, whatever setting, we have to be how Prabhupada wanted us to be, our spiritual masters want us to be." And there was this Godrum Prabhu, our God brother, and then he, in questions and answers, and he said, "Okay, so if one has to wind down after 50th year, when the kids are grown up and they're already in their own development, they're ready to leave the nest, that means that the Grihastha ashram has been fulfilled, that the job is done. So you can then go on to the next thing, the next phase." And then Gudrun was asking, "Okay, but what about if I don't have kids and I'm already pushing 50, I'm like already in my 40s, so what should I do then?" And then Gudrun said, "Should I just forget about kids and just start preparing for Vanaprastha?" And then Maharaj just said, "Amen to that, brother." Yeah, so he said that it would be, if you would try to have kids when you're like just a few years from 50, it would be like you're in jail and you were serving the 25-year-old sentence. And then you go, and in your 20th year, you go and punch the warden. It's not very conducive to do that, right? And then he was describing different examples. Mm-hmm. Because also in our society, we have many, it's not that many kind of sannyasis, they joke about that Vanaprastha doesn't even exist, right? But we have some examples, some pretty good examples. Some people are already doing it. And they say, yeah, it's not practical to go into the forest to eat roots and veggies and shoots and leaves, be dressed in tree bark. But he says, no, today, in today's age, as Prabhupada is suggesting, we should go to Vrindavan or to some other temple and join there and try to serve there and try to just focus our activities on serving in the mission, trying to do something, because the goal of life, right, is to go back to Godhead. So we have to really put some effort into it. It's not just going to happen. If I'm just like casually going to the temple every, I don't know, once a month or just for Janmashtami and I'm giving some donations and we're good, we're going to Krishna. It's not going to happen like that. So we really have to put a lot of planning and emphasis on developing our devotional service. And one other thing is because we're preaching movement, right? So yad yad acharati shreshtas, we have to show by example, even if we are not so comfortable doing it, or it's something that would be out of our ability or comfort zone, really much far. We should think about others also, and how we influence others, and how our example encourages others. As just like we are inspired by others, right? When Kesha Maharaj comes, just today, everyone was dancing and everyone was singing, and it was like a little bit different than yesterday, right? It was more spiritual. You could feel some like enhancement. So in the same way, we have such influence on some others who are below our level. So we should be very much aware of that. It's not just about us and how we feel and how we think we should go through. No, we have to think about the mission also, how we will influence others by our own example. So we have to go out of our comfort zone for that sake. And then Jadvaita Maharaj also says, when people say, yeah, okay, but I can, going to Vanaprastha, this is material. For Vaishnavas, they can just stay in Grihastha ashram. It's not, if it's not a burden, right? And then Jadvaita Maharaj just dismantles it completely and he says, oh, so why do you even mention that it's a burden? Just that you have to say it in such a way. It already means there's something behind it. There is something, some hindrance. And then he says, yeah, just like we say for Grihastha ashram, we say, yeah, this is a new opportunity for service and he's going to develop in his Krishna consciousness, in his devotional service. We don't say it's a burden, right? Nobody says it's a burden. Why we don't say the same for Vanaprastha ashram? It's a new opportunity for service. It's something to grow. And then Maharaj says, yeah, it's an adventure. And he says, allow me to say it. It's fun. It's fun. So then he gives few examples. For instance, Swayam Jyoti Prabhu, you all know him, right? And he's kind of doing that already, traveling some part of the year, serving here and there in Leicester also. And his wife also, she's serving in the Soho temple and she's serving here. So they are already doing this and he's very happy. If you see him, he's always in a jolly mood, right? He's never kind of like fatigued or burdened by something or like in his own like mental sphere. He's always like outgoing, ready to preach, to share Krishna consciousness, like that. So yeah, we have many examples like that. Also our Mother Vishakha, She's just fully engaged in the service. And Jagat Priya Mataji also, for so many years, right? And we can see it's not that you're gonna disintegrate if you're gonna lose your identity or your good standing if you go out and try to do something like that. It's you become glorious. It's very glorious thing to do, and Krishna is backing you up. This is what this verse is about, to follow the example of Krishna, how to be a perfect grihastha, and then how to perfectly wind it down also. And in this way you can go towards the goal of life. And just as the queens of Krishna, they were under, they actually are the internal energy. Also us, if we're gonna fully engage in Krishna consciousness, in devotional service, we're also, as marginal potency, we're gonna become influenced or kind of like taken over by the internal potency. And this is actually our constitutional position. So let us do that. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any questions and comments, please? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for such a nice class. You mentioned that for Brahmins, sannyas and vanaprast is there and is taken by them. For Kshatriyas, sannyas isn't taken, but vanaprast is taken. For Vaishyas and Shudras, they just remain in the grahast and they don't take vanaprast. Is that correct?
Yeah, and Vaishyas also, they go to Gurukul. They go through the Brahmachari training.
Vaishya, Kshatriya, and Brahman go to Gurukul, but Shudras don't go to Gurukul.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of like, it's not like set in stone, but this is the idea, yeah.
My question is is this the Deva Varnashram that Srila Prabhupada is also speaking about in his purports? For example, he says many times that Deva Varnashram means Krishna's in the center, and that everyone must one day leave or retire at 50 years old. Does that Deva Varnashram mean that if we are running a Deva Varnashram in the future, do the Shudras, Vaishyas have an opportunity to take Vanaprast and Sannyas also, is my question.
Yeah. Well, obviously it's... these are just kind of like... this is the framework. And as we know, one can develop throughout his education, throughout his life, from one societal order to the other. So it's more kind of like a spectrum. It's not set in stone. So that means it's different from one person to the other. But yeah, we can, definitely everyone can go for it if they have the desire and the capacity for it. Yeah. And Jayadvaita Maharaj also describes it. It's not just that, okay, we have to separate from the wife and she's doing her own thing with the kids and her grandsons and the man is out there preaching. But they can also do it together, right? It just, vanaprastha just means no more sense gratification, no sex life. So if she's ready to go with him through all the travels and hardships and just serve him as a menial servant, as like support in his preaching. And she can also preach, of course, like Kratu Prabhu's wife. She's everyone calls her Guruma because she's taking care of all the ladies and she's very much empowered. So it's not that one gender or the other is like like in a better position. They can both be very happy and very enthused in their service. Yeah.
Thank you, Paul. And I just wanted to comment one point that I really liked. You mentioned that one person may see that there's a mistake in the society, but that everyone is actually ISKCON. Each individual is ISKCON. I was just happy that you said that, because if we can spot the mistake, that means Krishna wanted us to see the mistake ourselves, and we can have the empowerment to change that mistake. So thank you for bringing that
up. Yeah. Let me just give a quick comment on this. It's many times, actually, you can see that people who are complaining, they themselves are not very much engaged. And because if you are just a little bit trying to fulfill the mission, you have so many things to do, so much work, so many things to read and research and this and that, and catch up with this person and that person. You don't have time to dwell on these things. You just are perpetually engaged, and so we should look into ourselves first, in our own position, what we are doing to bring ISKCON to where Prabhupada wanted it to be. Thank you.
Pankajanri Prabhu, I can't remember who. And I said, the problem is I've come into ISKCON and I'm still very much attracted to women and tempted in that way, you know. Even in a way they've approached me and I'd not seen it. Actually, they are actually approaching me. And I'm an old man. And what shall I do? And he said, you should ask yourself. Very soon, I will be leaving this world. And what's that child going to say to its mother? Where's my daddy? I never. Who is he? You know, where's he gone? It was just like because you feel attracted. That it's like a selfish thing. That all of a sudden, well, why not? Why not? You know, I might live on. And he said, ultimately, you're only trying to satisfy your own body. You know, your attraction to another woman. It's unfortunate. So you're not thinking about them at all. You should be saying to yourself, can I satisfy this woman? Can I satisfy her needs? Can I help her in any way when I'm gone? No, she's there with a child that has no father. And I thought that was a very good point of view. I don't know if you quite understood what I was saying, but all these things are worth considering when you get in the latter years, and like I did, and I came when I was 51 into ISKCON. You know, there's so many attractions, so many people, so many things that we get involved in. Be considerate. Can I satisfy this woman? Can I satisfy her needs? And what happens when I'm gone? What are the children going to ask? Where's daddy? Who is daddy? That's...
Yeah. So if I understood correctly, is you were trying to emphasize how it's not... Because when we usually... We're trying to get together, we're trying to satisfy our senses, we're just looking at what we can get from the relationship, how this person's gonna satisfy me. But actually, underneath, the reality is that we should look into what it all brings with it. So, what responsibilities, what sacrifices that I will have to make, how will I have to serve this person, because ultimately we are all here together and the goal of life is to come back to Krishna, so we should help each other to fulfill that goal. So whatever that entails. And this is actually how all the relationships should be. So yeah, it's not an easy thing, not something that we can take lightly. It's a very responsible role, yeah, like you were mentioning. Thank you. Paramakaru.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the class. Just wanted a bit more clear understanding of Anukar and Anusar. Because sometimes, whether it's a spiritual master or Srila Prabhupada, we want to speak like them, we want to do kirtan like them or dress like them. Sometimes even Prabhupada ate this at this time, so therefore I should eat this because Prabhupada is the acharya, or my spiritual master does this in this way, so therefore I should do it in this way. Or is it okay to have a different opinion? Of course, philosophically, right, we should be sound.
Mm-hmm.
But is it okay to have a different opinion or mood from the spiritual master or Srila Prabhupada? Or does it have to be exactly the same? So I just wanted to understand because, yeah, it can be quite subtle and we can get confused. Yeah, so I don't,
yeah.
You can elaborate on that.
Yeah, maybe one take on it is how we can also, just practically, we can see, for instance, some devotees are trying to imitate Kesha Maharaj, right? They have the same like accessories, or they're trying to make the same style of class or something like that. But it's not what we are missing here, or like you said, they were imitating their spiritual master or Prabhupada. Why they're doing it? It's because these persons, they are connected with Krishna. They have intimate connection and they have some spiritual potency. So then we bring our material consciousness into it. We think, okay, because he's dressed like that, that's why his potency is coming from his dress or from his style of presentation or from his style of kirtan. But it's not like that. We're missing the essence. We're just looking at the outer shell. And what actually is that they themselves develop this connection with Krishna. And then whatever they do, whatever way they give class or whatever way they dress, it's going to be associated as like advanced or spiritual. So what we should do is we should try to develop, imitate them in how they cultivated their Krishna consciousness, their devotional service. And in that way, whatever, if we're going to reach a higher level, whatever style of kirtan we'll do, or whatever way we will dress the deities, or dress ourselves, or present the topics on the Vyasasan, it's going to become the thing, right? It's going to become, yeah, this guy is good. This person is good. Because this spiritual connection is going to come through. So even you're going to kind of like dictate, like they are doing it now, right? So it's just that we should follow in their, how they are strict in their sadhana, how they are strict in their bhajan, and in this way we're gonna develop these qualities that everyone is hankering for, seeing them. Yeah, like that. I hope this makes some sense.
What about opinions and mood?
Opinions and mood. Yeah, I think we, at the beginning stages, we shouldn't sort of dwell on that so much, because we're just in the preliminary stages of devotional service. So we should try to cultivate knowledge and develop our sadhana, and then throughout the years there will, some opinions will form, or mood, or whatever. These are more refined stages. So whoever is kind of like discussing this or dwelling on these points, he's missing the point, actually. And first we should fill out the bottom, the foundation, and then when that is solid, the rest follows. So we have quite a few years ahead to work on it. Yeah. David?
Thank you, Bhu. On Saturday's or Sunday's class, it mentioned about sannyas, that if one is in a Krishna conscious family, they don't need to take sannyas. So I'm wondering, what is the, when should one take vanaprastha and sannyas, and when should one not?
So, as Jayadutta Maharaj said, he's not there, I'm not here to decide who should do it and who should not do it. I'm just here to present what the Shastra is saying, what Guru is saying. And the verse says, right, na sukham, na siddhim, na parangatim. So if we're not gonna explore all the possibilities to come as close to Krishna as possible, we're not gonna bear fruit, we're not gonna reap the result. So we should be always trying to strive towards the most, being most in line as possible. Not that we're trying to have the easy way out, right? Just be on the list of the Vaishnavas and just be on the kind of like on the outer edge, on the periphery of the whole thing, but I'm qualified because I'm still wearing the neck beads and I'm still okay, I'm doing my thing, but I'm kind of like in the pool of all the rest of the Vaishnavas in the society, and it's kind of, I'm not sticking out too much, I'm kind of like average in my conduct, so I guess I'm still good. I'm not in a danger zone, right? Like that. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki.